Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's yesterday.
It's funny. I did it once when Alan Pinkett, the former Notre Dame broadcaster, was on with me and Dan McNeil on The Score, and he said that Notre Dame needed more criminals, that the roster needed more criminals. And he was trying to say you need more tough guys and, like, you know, rebels and whatever.
But didn't that cost him his job?
Oh, yes. It certainly – I think it might have – it cost him the initial suspension and then eventually cost him his job. But towards the end of that, I said, you know, Alan, I want to circle back to something you said earlier because I realized he was in trouble. But I always think of Ted Koppel with Al Campanis, the former Dodgers general manager, after on Nightline, he said that he didn't think that black people had the capacity to be managers in MLB. Just like they weren't good swimmers. And I always remember Ted Koppel saying, Mr. Campanis, I'm going to give you one more chance to clarify the statements. So that's what you were doing. You were doing the Ted Koppel to Al Campanis right there.
I was trying. And obviously Terry Bradshaw, much less offensive than Al Campanis in that situation.
Or Alan Pinkett.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Like, Bradshaw is kind of like football's Charles Barkley.
See, you said that yesterday, and I hadn't thought about it that way. But expound. Yes, I think you're right.
He always, like, sticks his neck out there, and then it makes headlines because he's, you know, four-time Super Bowl champion, Hall of Famer, legend, million-dollar broadcaster for Fox, Terry Bradshaw, but he's also get-off-my-lawn, back-in-my-day guy. Like, Charles Barkley was the guy on the biggest NBA show in the world when Steph Curry was setting three-point records, shattering them, saying, you can't win a championship with jump shooters. And everyone was like, yo, they won a championship with jump shooters. Like, what are you talking about? And Terry Bradshaw is the same guy who's like, I don't know. Like, I guess Tom Brady's one of the 10 best quarterbacks of the last 25 years. And I could have made all the throws that Pat Mahomes makes today. I just didn't want to.
Yeah,
what are you talking about, Terry?
You're right. That's TB's thing. He said he has said formerly of Tom Brady, is he better than Roger Staubach? No. Is he better than Dan Fouts? No. Like, all right, okay. That's a thought. That's a take.
It's an opinion. And see, I love these types.
So is Roger Staubach.
Yes, exactly. And so, you know, the comments on our show got some pub, but he had already been on The Fan and in New York, and that got a lot of runs. So, like, they made First Take and they made Pro Football Talk and all that. I think we got on a Pat McAfee show and a couple of other places. But we really soft-pedaled Dumber Than a Box of Rocks to kind of protect Terry Bradshaw because, frankly, we want him to come on and just be unfiltered again for our audience with Dave Wanstead a bunch, and we don't really care necessarily about all the national pub, though I care a little bit.
Yeah, you care most. But you're letting people in right there to a lack of journalistic integrity so we can maintain a relationship there from us yesterday.
Well, so here's the thing. It's not journalism. People have like a really high opinion of what we do. This is entertainment.
No.
Yes. He is a commentator, and he gave
an opinion
on a football
player.
Yeah,
right.
It's an opinion on a football player.
Yeah, so it ain't nothing. I was just needling you because I know how much you love journalistic integrity. So, you know, it's an opportunity.
Any
opportunity I have to take a shot at you these days, I certainly do. Let me tell you that Terry Bradshaw makes an appearance in the song that we are debuting at 5 o'clock, track one of the new album in honor of Justin Fields, Terry Bradshaw makes an appearance as placed in by the great Chris Tannehill. I think this is certainly the most involved Tanny has ever been with a parody song. I don't know what his relationship is with the genre as we speak. I know what it has been. Have we flipped him? Oh, we'll flip you. Flip you for real. Have we flipped him with one song? Probably not.
Let's relax on that, yeah. Whenever there's audio dead space, it's my job to fill them. So that's what I did. It's actually right when Danny comes in. I don't want to spoil it. I'll just give you a little teaser. Right when Danny comes in, I play this.
Well, he's just dumber than a box of rocks, isn't he?
Perfect. Perfect. That's my brand. So, yes, the Justin Fields album, track one, also the title of the album, debuts at 5 o'clock today. So we will talk Justin Fields and play that song. And, of course, as always, everyone knows this at this point. I don't even need to say it, but I will because I'm humble like that. I nailed my part.
You
obviously.
Did. Yeah, you absolutely nailed it. I was told that it only took about an hour and a half of post-production to wedge your lines into the correct spot.
Hey, Speaks, as a music guy, is that good?
What, that it takes that long?
Yeah, for the one guy's track and like a two-minute song?
It's not a lot of work either, Danny's part. It's not a
ton. No, he's not. He's not necessarily featured, although he does have the hook. So I think that's
it's prominent.
Good,
yeah, it's a prominent role, but not time-consuming one.
Did we go the Swirsk route, or did Danny actually wear headphones to listen to the instrumental while he was recording?
No, we have thoroughly abandoned the traditional ways of recording in the process. We may have to revisit it at some point, but right now it's more of like a parrot kind of situation where Danny is essentially an African gray bird in a cage and just eventually repeats things decently.
Does his head fall off like Les's parrot?
A talented parrot, though.
I agree with that.
A talented, beautiful, in-tune parrot.
Cheeseburger in paradise, making the best of every virtue and vice.
You know what? That's good company. Me and Swirsk. I'm fine with that comp.
You guys are right there.
But we'll debut that at 5 o'clock and talk some Justin Fields then. Cubs get a win today. In many ways, much needed. Chris Bryant continues to rake. David Bote, obviously, with the key hit of the game. Kyle Hendricks gives you the complete game, 7 innings of work. And Javi Baez with a very adventurous day with his second walk of the season. His strikeout-to-walk ratio, Spiegs, is now 40 strikeouts against 2 walks. Good. 3 errors in the game, but then also a beautiful play late. So pretty exciting full game where they were a big underdog and jumped out on Kershaw early and got him out of there after 1 inning and got a win. If Hendricks locks in and Bryant keeps hitting, maybe they can hang around for a little bit. Those are 2 key guys.
Absolutely. The shortest start of Clayton Kershaw's career. The most first inning pitches that Clayton Kershaw has ever given up in his career. And these pitching matchups on paper were horrifying. The pitching matchup for game 2 is a little daunting. Keegan Thompson in his second ever major league appearance, his first career start against Trevor Bauer. Is he any good? Yes, he is. So that's your matchup in game 2. But, man, Kyle Hendricks finding it is certainly the biggest story to come out of that game, and that would be... could be transformative for the Cubs' rotation. He's been brutal. He's been brutal in the first inning. Do you know his ERA in the first inning coming into today through 5 starts? It was 21.6. 12 runs, 7 homers in 5 starts in the first inning. He got through the first in shutdown fashion today, and then the Cubs gave him 4 runs off of Kershaw right away, and he was able to relax. And I think figured some things out, threw a lot of first pitch strikes. Really, really good to see. And just like Zach Davies, he's got to execute, got to hit those pitches on the bottom end of the zone. He said he did that a lot better today.
Hendricks is the ultimate guy, the number one guy on the Cubs that I give benefit of the doubt to. Was never concerned about him. I mean, Rizzo, everyone would say, you can pencil him in for 30 and 100. He's up there in terms of consistency and guys that you rely on to have their numbers at the end of the year, but you worry about how he ages in the back. Kyle Hendricks, man, he's such a student of the game. He's so exact. He's a feel pitcher, so if a little is off. But I never had any doubt that he was going to figure it out. So I'm glad that he's got it locked in, because they certainly now, Jake Arrieta going on the injured list, they've got even more problems in terms of starting pitching depth. But, man, Chris Bryant, that's a guy who you didn't know if he was going to get it locked in, but he is. You know, he is locked in, and I have this terrible feeling, and you tell me if this is just the neurotic Cubs fan in me, that it clicked and it's working just in time for him to be shown the door. Whether it's a trade and you do get something for it, or that he mashes all year and then leaves in free agency, and it's like, well, the Cubs fixed him, or he fixed himself most likely, but then some other team gets to benefit from all of it.
Well, first of all, he absolutely fixed himself with the help of his lifetime hitting coach father. Sure. And we can talk about those details, which are now out there, courtesy of a Tom Verducci article at SI.com. But, man, the timing for the Cubs and Bryant has been so brutal over the last couple years. And we've talked about it. Now, this is just the worst time possible. What does this do now? Because the trade value will be up if you're going to go that route. The signability is going to get a little more difficult, as he seems to have locked it in, if you were really going to go down that path again here during the season. And the irony of ironies is, as much as Bryant and Scott Boras and all of the players' union hated the service time manipulation, which has become a major issue in the game and will be in the collective bargaining agreement, they did him a favor. It turns out right now, this version of Bryant coming up for free agency this year, as opposed to last year, oh my God, he's going to get a far, far better contract, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, that's just dumb luck,
year.
Though, right? I mean, in terms of the pandemic, which submarined the economics of baseball, and then obviously he also had been slumping and injured. So, I mean, that's dumb luck. He wouldn't say thank you for it. They did not do him
no.
a favor. It lucked out that way.
It wasn't an intentional favor, of course. But I'm saying it wasn't intentional on his part to suck all of last year and in the playoffs and frequent times and in many Septembers. It's just that he fixed himself over the offseason, and it's going to benefit him and possibly the Cubs. I mean, I know we've all kind of been resigned to the fate of trading Chris Bryant, and that is still the most likely thing. But as we've looked at Javier Baez, and I, for one, have gone away from the idea of wanting to sign Javi, and I've been granting them Rizzo, why not Rizzo and Bryant? Why not try to get something done with the two of them? If you believe that Bryant is fixed, and I think there is a ton of genuine, factual reason to look at Chris Bryant's swing because of the elemental changes he has made and say, dude has fixed himself and adjusted back to the league, which was dominating him. And I didn't think it was going to happen. But here they are. And shouldn't you try and sign Chris Bryant right now?
I'll answer that coming up. I mean, before the year of the three, he's the one I said I wanted them to sign. Because I think he's the best baseball player. Like, I just, of the three of them, I think that Chris Bryant is the best baseball player, so it was fairly simple to me. But, man, he's hitting free agency. Like, I think that ship has sailed. Like, I think if you engage Scott Boras right now in contract extension talks, he would laugh at you and hang up the phone.
You still try, but I'm sure he probably would, and I have long thought that he was going to go the way of his buddy Bryce Harper and just play out the first 7 years of his Cubs life and then hit free agency. And that is still the most likely scenario, whether he's traded or not. But my God, you see a guy who can play third base and first base and left field and right field. And oh, by the way, he's starting in center field tonight, and the adjustments he has made. He's now destroying the four seam fastball when it was dominating him over the last 3 years. This is quite a development in that storyline.
I want you to get to some of the specifics on Bryant. We'll talk about what that might look like. And I have updated the Javi Baez on pace stats. They're a little less hilarious than they were a couple of weeks ago, but they're still there. Javi Bryant would be a pretty good baseball player if you could combine the strengths of each of them. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
Now the 0-2 to Bryant. Line drive down the left field line. That's going to be a fair ball. And it bounces up into the stands. It's a ground rule double.
You talked about pulling the ball. I think Chris was listening.
Breaking Cubs news. The Cubs trade Chris Bryant to the Colorado Rockies.
Not ready for that, Tanny. I wasn't emotionally prepared for that.
That's an odd move, I think. The Rockies. What are they doing? Are they
that
going
surprised
for
me. Everything about that seemed just off. It took me a second. I was like, I don't, like, I'm not interested. I wanted to Rick Hahn that entire rejoin.
Dodgers. Pat Mooney wrote the Dodgers today. I mean, I know they're in town and everything, but he's putting the Dodgers out there as having the money and the system to make something like that happen.
They would seem like a buyer for just about everyone and everything in
pretty much
Major League Baseball. So you said you had specifics on Chris Bryant as to why this is actually looking like the Chris Bryant of old and in some ways even better.
We've talked a lot about his swing. It's the uppercut launch angle swing. He learned it from his dad, who learned it from Ted Williams in Red Sox training camp years and years ago. And it's exactly what the entire league has been able to figure out against the Cubs and a lot of other people. Well, Mike Bryant and Chris Bryant changed what they do. This offseason, according to Tom Verducci, 200 hacks a day, says Mike Bryant, at the high fastball. 150 to 200 hacks off the tee or off the machine on that pitch before we move to any other parts of the strike zone. So he stands taller. He brings his hands to the ball from the top of the zone. It creates a feeling of swinging down, even though that's more of a thought than a literal swing path, Danny. But it's still, instead of a lifetime of an uppercut swing as he has done, he is trying to at least think about swinging down on the ball. And he's starting the swing way, way higher. So that high fastball, that high four-seam fastball that everybody's been throwing him, and everybody's been dominating him with, has now become something he can hit. On the 12th of April, Freddy Peralta, the Brewers, threw a 94-mile-an-hour fastball at the top of the zone. Bryant homered off it. Mike says that was a yowza moment. That was the first time since September of 2019 he homered off a four-seam fastball that was that high. That first time since 2019. 5 days later, he did it again against the Braves. One inning later, he did it again. And he is now the best slugger in the National League against four-seam fastballs. Last year, he was 135th out of 151 National League hitters against four-seam fastballs. This is the specific way, and we've talked about it a million times, right? This is how they've attacked him. High four-seam fastballs, then a breaking ball off of it. So, yes, he's being more aggressive. He's got the lowest pitches per plate appearance of his career. So that's something. He's looking for that high fastball and then going after it with the confidence that he can hit it. And he's already just completely destroyed 60 games worth of stats on the high fastball in a month right now. So that was the biggest
one.
Right, that was the biggest way to get him, and he and his dad worked like crazy on it all offseason, made even more changes that Verducci details mechanically, but specifically they went after this, and they figured it out, man. They figured it out.
Good for him. He's a great baseball player, and it sucks that he won't be a Cub for life. I know they'll try to sign him. There'll be some story, like he'll sign some $200 million deal with the Dodgers or the Mets or somebody like that, and there'll be a story thanking Chris Bryant for his time and that they made an offer and that they tried and that they wanted him to be here, but just didn't work out. The agent, the timing, how he struggled, injuries, the pandemic, everything. It sucks, but I do think Cubs fans have to be prepared, if they're not already, for these are the last days of Chris Bryant in a Cubs uniform. And it might be 130 more games. Like, it might be the entire season. They might not trade him, but they have been in last place in this division for a while. So, like, if they don't start winning, they will trade him if he continues to hit this well. But if they can figure out a way to be in some sort of contention, maybe you get a second-half run in another moment or two of meaningful baseball around September with Chris Bryant. But it's overwhelmingly likely that his days on the North Side are numbered in, you know, months, not many months.
I think it's overwhelmingly likely, and you end up with a compensatory draft pick for making him the qualifying offer and then having him go somewhere else and get a deal. But I certainly make a run at him. I certainly make a run at him if the relationship is any good, because of the three, in terms of what's going to age, he and Baez and Rizzo, what's going to age best, what has the most utility on a team, the most versatility on a team, and now he's shown you that he can adjust after the league figured him out for a couple of years. Man, I definitely make a run at him if I'm the Cubs, and it probably doesn't work because of how far they've let it go.
So Javi Baez on pace for 39 home runs, tying the major league record of 223 strikeouts.
That's way down from what it was.
And 11 walks. That is a wild stat line. We're going to just check in on this periodically because he walked today. So today's a good day to check in. So he's up to now 40 strikeouts and 11 walks. Now he's played in 25 of, I think, the 29 games. So I did it on, you know, as if he had played over the 162. So 223 for K's, 11 walks, 39 homers.
His career high in walks is 2017 with 30. 30 walks in 2017,
happening.
Then 29, then 28 in 2019. Those were all-star years, you know? 29 walks in an MVP season in 2018. It's
Did
not
you
like,
see him sky point, by the way?
After the walk?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I didn't. I saw A.J. Pollock flip a bat after a flyout as well today, but I didn't. Javi sky pointed after the walk,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, he gave a little mock like, yeah, I did it. I took a walk. Kershaw was bad, man.
Yeah,
he was throwing ground balls.
That's weird.
Baez, very bizarre.
Baez was maddening, though, today, man, because he makes the beautiful play.
I know.
Where he, like, just lightens the pressure on the glove and lets it fall to the edge of the webbing so he can do the flip. And then the two errors on the same play in the ninth inning, including the careless flip where he's trying to like catch Mookie Betts sleeping and David Bodie's not even looking. It's like, what are you doing? I know it's a
seven-run
game.
He's an awesome, maddening, frustrating, beautiful player. He's everything. Like, that's what he is.
It's the full experience.
He is. The Javi Baez experience is a wild one. The Mitch album, frankly, it gave us fame and fortune. Let's be honest. It was way more successful than Mitch Trubisky. And now there's hope again in the form of Justin Fields. So we have track one of the new album that is also the title track for the album. We debut the first Justin Fields song next on The Score.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Still doing strong work at The Score despite a revolving door of partners.
It's all good, man. Don't let it get to you, 18.
Afternoons on The Score.
We hope the Bears win with Trubisky. We realize that can admit the plan is kind of risky.
It's fair.
Yes, Junior Walker's shotgun deserved to be taken out on We Hope the Bears, the penultimate track of the Mitch album. I believe Careless Drafter was the final track as we said goodbye to Mitch.
And I thought that there was a really good chance, Speaks, that we weren't.
Oh, no, it's all over now. It's all over now, actually, was the final track. So many final tracks. We just kept merchandising the hell out of that thing. That's what we were doing.
There was just so much demand, frankly, for us to get back in the studio together. Tanny just kept texting. It was just badgering nonstop. It was relentless.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
But so I thought we were going to be done singing for a while because Andy Dalton is not getting a song.
He's not getting
an album. He's not getting anything. Nick Foles wasn't going to get anything. The whole point of starting an album is when there is actually hope for the Bears to finally get a franchise quarterback.
Yes.
Right? There was hope with Mitch. I wanted it to be Deshaun, but a lot of people had Mitch as the top QB on their board. He was taken second overall. They traded up to draft him. It was an exciting time. It didn't work, but it was very exciting.
And you know what it also was a obvious, you know, predominant storyline that we were all fascinated with and focused on as a sports city, as really only a Bears story can do, frankly. And a Bears quarterback story? Well, come on. So we've got a whole story to track here. We've got a whole, I mean, is he going to play? Is he going to sit? Fields' first game. I mean, there's a million angles.
Is he going to be good?
Correct. All of that. And we don't know, but we will cover the story and we will let the story dictate our creative process. So we've gone into the studio. I immediately started writing and I reached out to a friend of mine in Tributosaurus, Kurt Morrison, who happened to have an instrumental version of this song that he'd been working on just for fun. Just for fun. That's fate. That's fate stepping in, Danny, and saying that this track needed to be done. It was also far and away the number one suggestion from the listeners via text and Twitter as to a parody song that needed to happen for Justin Fields. So first I explained to you what the original song was because you
had
helpful. No idea.
that was very it's by a successful group, though.
Yes. Then I explained to you who the Beatles were.
Right.
And you knew that?
I'd heard of them. I'd heard of them. Animal, rock group, you know.
They're in that scene with the Dewey Cox movie. Like, that's the Beatles. That's who they're portraying there.
You
Jack Black and Paul Rudd, yeah.
That
I get
is
it.
Absolutely the right way to get to Danny about music. It is just find a movie that he might have seen.
A light bulb
exactly
went
right.
on. I understood what was happening. Yes. You explained to me what the song is, and feel free, Mr. Spiegel, to introduce it, because obviously I'm going to get all of the accolades for nailing my part, so you do the introduction here.
Apologies to the late John Lennon, but here it is.
Oh, he died?
Yeah, he did. John Lennon was a singer, Danny, and a songwriter. Apologies, but we simply had to do it. Thank you to Kurt Morrison for all the production. Although I played trumpet on the track as well, so you'll hear some of that in there. But here it is, track one from Justin Fields' Forever.
With the 11th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, my Chicago Bears select Justin Fields, quarterback, Ohio State.
It's a whole new town. Bears are going to Justin.
Oh, and then by the way, he runs a 4.44.
Tanny.
Oh, and then by the way, he runs a 4.44.
Did you have Luckman?
I'm trying to get some of these TVs in the building turned off.
We're having some audio issues. It's so sad. It is so sad. Oh, no.
Justin,
what happened?
Justin Fields has to be better than that, right?
Yeah, he will be better than that. We are better than that.
Are we?
Oh, my God. Yes, we are.
Okay.
We are.
I wanted to hear it live for the first time. It was professionally mixed. Everything's going to be fine.
Okay, so
everything's going to be fine.
Let's.
Of course it's going to be fine. Sometimes things happen. Some kind of audio disaster is taking place.
Yeah, that's not some kind. I'll try to whiteboard it for folks. So I heard it, the final version. It didn't sound like that, the way you just heard coming through the air. Spiegel heard it after I sent my, you know, additions to it. And we agreed, this is the final version. But I think what happened was, I think possibly the final mix down with the vocals was too high of a fidelity for our processors and in our wide orbit system, and then ultimately the airwaves.
So I think your guy Spiegs uses a 48,000 hertz mix session and we export into our system just to completely let people behind the curtain here into 44.1. So I think something is being lost in translation between the fidelity of his original
it's
session.
It's too high quality.
And ours.
Too high quality. Ultimately, yeah. It's too good.
But see, it's weird because it sounds fine like in the monitors.
Full
like
disclosure.
Locally.
So I popped it in queue before we went into the break just to make sure that it was there in the system. And I heard it and something sounded a little bit off. So I asked Shane.
No.
I was like, does this sound okay? It's like, no, but I know, you know, we'll make it sound okay. So we streamed it from the other computer.
That's why you see me bouncing around. I was trying to play it from another studio. But it seems like in the translation of the compressors going to air, something's being lost in there. Because it sounds great in here.
Yeah,
you sounded horrible,
in
Danny.
A separate room, it sounded like how it was supposed to sound. I heard it when I was mixing it down. It sounded like how it was supposed to sound.
I heard it when you sent it to me, and it sounded great. I was thrilled. I was so excited. We've been promoting it relentlessly.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to sabotage for people out there asking.
No,
that's what I think is potentially happening. I wanted to be – listen, we all know how I step into the batter's box, one take, I hit a home run, and then I walk out of the studio with my part. So I had nothing into this. I think Tanny is sabotaging it. As soon as I heard it, though, I was like, something.
Yeah, but you know music.
Yeah, right, exactly.
No,
exactly.
This is
I could tell something was wrong.
You know, and here's the irony. The irony is that every bit of production of the Mitch album was the lowest fidelity possible. The absolute lowest, like grab a karaoke track.
Bad songwriting, bad execution.
Thank you. Horrific karaoke track, just sharing low-res MP3s with everybody. You know, sometimes Danny would sing his part into QuickTime, true story, and we'd send that and put it on there. Technical term, QuickTime. But yeah, and that was all fine. But then this, we actually tried to go high-level fidelity, and that caused a problem. Oh, my
and
God.
Was,
it's
was,
like,
I'm sorry, Speaks. This was just totally unavoidable because when we're playing it in the studio, it sounds fine. So we assume it's going to sound fine once it hits air. But obviously, it did not. Folks, I'm telling you.
I get it.
It was a home run. That's not how it was supposed to sound.
All right. So here's the thing. First of all, clearly we need more collaboration. There's not enough collaboration going on our Bears topics and things like that. The
Can
second
we do
thing
it live?
Is, no. Boy, this is ready is this what live. Is this what happens when the Bears get a high fidelity version of a quarterback? That's what I'm fearing, that they actually get a super high fidelity quarterback and they don't know what to do with it, kind of like 670 The Score. I'm terrified that we have somehow cursed the career of Justin Fields with this accidental debut.
Can you explain this to me like I'm five? You guys are talking about fidelity and mixing and 4800 and computers and quick times and transfers and mixing. Is the song ruined? Do we have to do it all again? Is it salvageable?
Tomorrow. No, I think we need a different version. I think we need a different export from my guy.
Yeah, if he just mixes it down at a lower bit rate, I think we should be good to go there.
Okay. I'll see if he can do that immediately. And if not,
like, how about right now?
There's always tomorrow, because it's worth it. But man,
wow! So we gave away the reveal of the song.
Oh yeah,
and
horrific!
The album title, and we fumbled the snap. This is the worst omen possible for Justin Fields. Everyone's like, oh man, I don't know about Justin Fields because Ryan Pace drafted him. No. Uh-huh. The first song of the Mitch album went off without a hitch.
Yeah,
this is terrifying.
Now you've found it. You've found the silver lining, Danny. You're so good at that, even when you're not intending. The Mitch album recorded perfectly. The Mitch album recorded perfectly. Everything debuted just fine. They say in the theater business that a bad dress rehearsal means a good performance. Maybe a disaster here in production of a song means that Justin Fields' career is going to be just exactly what it should be, an absolute slam dunk.
Oh, this is frustrating because people are saying on the app and on the stream, like, it sounded fine, you know, which is truly just maddening. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it sounded terrible to us in our ears. And oh, man.
All right. Well,
this has never happened before. I am sorry. I put basically no work into it, but they all put a lot of work into it. And we'll get it right.
Yeah,
we'll get it right.
We will get it right. And it's the converter. It's the technical part is 48K to 44K, and sound people know that. But Danny, if you're five, it's too good. It's too good for AM radio processing is essentially what it is.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, Twitch is saying Twitch and the app are saying it sounded fine. Over the air is saying it sounded bad. Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Very, very weird. So.
All right. That has literally never happened to us before. We will figure it out. We still do need to serve the over the air audience.
Yeah,
so
Danny, figure it out if you can. Just take tonight, figure it out for us. It'd be great.
Danny, when I say we will figure it out, I'm just trying to have some leadership here, and obviously that will be delegated to anybody other than me. I will have forgotten about this by 6:01. But yeah, that's weird. And someone on Twitch said, well, fine is a relative term because it still was us singing. Did we even get to my part?
That was my first real clue, is that I didn't hear your part. Your part didn't make it. On my version, which was beautiful, frankly. I enjoyed it a lot more than I expected. But no, it needs to be tweaked and fixed. I'm hearing from FM DJs now. You may know this guy. His name rhymes with Lynn Bramer. He says, I wish I could never say I never did a huge big build-up for a song that was all wrong, but that would be a lie. He has lived this. Thank you, Lynn. He has lived this. It happens.
Company.
Yeah, it's not supposed to happen to us. Because we're not that talented, frankly. So we'll fix it. We'll try to fix it for later in the hour. And if not for later in the hour, we'll fix it for tomorrow.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. I've been not amused is probably the best word to describe it. To see when you and I talked to Justin Fields and then later in the show, we like dipped our toe into the water of the conversation of when are they going to play him? And I said to you, I was like, we don't need to decide this now. Like, there's so much time between now and then. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how he looks, how he adjusts, how he picks up the playbook, all of it. But that I obviously wanted him to play and think that rookies should play as soon as possible. And Andy Dalton isn't any great barrier here. But, man, to see the straw men that are being constructed and, you know, our guy Hub is on this side, and I'm sure we'll get him on the show and we'll debate it out. Greg Gabriel, it's like the old football guard that is talking about, you know, it being damaging somehow to play him early when I can give you 100 examples on both sides. It is a case-by-case basis, which is what I said on Friday's show.
Like, yes.
Right? And in Justin Fields' case... Mm-hmm. To me, other than if Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace feel like they need to like hold back on Fields to save their jobs in some weird way, which would be the sign of a truly dysfunctional organization, and everyone's like, yeah, of course, the Bears are dysfunctional. It's like, well, hold on. You can't say they're dysfunctional when you also loved their draft and you loved their process of going out and getting Justin Fields. Like,
But Danny, don't you think dysfunction would be making a decision of that magnitude based on buying yourself an extra year?
Like, yes, if they, absolutely.
I think that would be ultimate dysfunction when it affects those kind of success possibilities on the field.
But call me naive, but I don't believe, like, to me, once they were empowered to trade a future first-round pick to move up to get a quarterback that Matt Nagy has scouted for 2 years with his old pal Ryan Day, and they're at the pro day, and he's a two-year starter at Ohio State and a two-time Big Ten Player of the Year and a Heisman Trophy finals and a college football playoff participant, they have time. Like, but barring a 4-12 season or something and Justin Fields looking awful and being a complete bust, like, barring some sort of absolute disaster scenario, the draft pick was the thing that bought them time. So I think they will play Justin Fields if he's better than Andy Dalton, and I'm pretty sure Justin Fields is better than Andy Dalton.
I hope they do, and I hope you're right. And I would love to see that. We all have our fears of the brass and the brain trust making a bad decision, even though we've just seen some really good decisions in the draft, and we feel great about that. The truth is, there are examples on every side of the should they play right away or not argument from multiple eras. Yet multiple eras of the game, including recently, about what to do and when to do it. So there's examples of it. It should be case by case. And this dude has risen to the occasion just about every chance he's had, played at a very high level. This would seem to be a case where this guy should be ready. What we don't know is how difficult it's going to be for the system to get into his head. We think his head is really, really good, and his aptitude is really, really high. But we don't exactly know how that's going to be, and we don't know how it's going to look in August. You know what this is? We see it in baseball all the time. This is an example of the news cycle and talk radio and columnists trying to debate something that isn't going to play out until August. It's just not. And there's a lot of time, right? And we are on day three of this entire process, or maybe even day four, when it's not going to play out until August. And I think the sensible thing is to go in, if I'm Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, and see where I am on August 1st with an open mind. And I just pray they do that. That's all.
And my guess is, like, if you want me to just how I think it will play out, is first snap of training camp goes to the veteran, goes to Andy Dalton. They will say it's a competition. They will say they are going to play Justin Fields when it's time to play. They will say all of the right things to not put extra internal pressure on him. Mm-hmm. But given case-by-case basis, let me give you some examples of cases where it makes sense not to play the rookie right away. When you don't have the coach and offensive system in place that you want him to learn, like Mitch Trubisky with Dow Loggins and John Fox. Now, Mike Glennon ended up being awful, so they rushed it and they played him when they played him. But the goal was, Ryan Pace said, the goal was for him to sit a year. He gave Mike Glennon $19 million because he knew that Dow Loggins, Josh Bellamy, Marcus Wheaton, and John Fox were not the guys to develop Mitch Trubisky. But in this case, the coach is here. Then people will point to Aaron Rodgers and Pat Mahomes. Well, Alex Smith led the NFL in deep.
He was coming off a career year. He was coming off a career year and then was even better that year.
Correct. You know? And they went to the playoffs.
Of course.
And Brett Favre was a Hall of Famer in front of Aaron Rodgers. Or then I'll give you another one. Trey Lance making the jump from the FCS to the NFL when you've got a guy who was in the Super Bowl 2 years ago on your roster and under contract and Jimmy Garoppolo. That's a reasonable explanation for sitting a rookie quarterback for a while. But multi-year starter at Ohio State with 60 Big Ten touchdowns and college football playoff experience when the coach is here and 33-year-old Andy Dalton is all that's between him and seeing the field, this is much more akin to Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow. And people say, oh, well, the only reason Justin Herbert played is because Tyrod Taylor had his lung collapsed by the team doctor. That's the only reason that he played week one. Tyrod Taylor was not going to stop the sixth overall pick from getting on the field in very short order. So it's not going to be long for Justin Fields. It's just a question of when.
I think we've all been in this offseason up until draft night thinking that these guys, Pace and Nagy, had to win in 2021 to save their jobs. And I don't think that's true. I don't know. We don't know. But it has certainly changed in what we think it might be. Like, there's no way that I'm as convinced as I was that they have to win. I think most likely, frankly, is that the McCaskies are loving the idea of longevity, loving the idea of consistency, and do believe that these guys know what they're doing. They have been convinced, and there are reasons to believe that they know what they're doing, and now they have a quarterback. And I want to ask you this. If Pace and Nagy do feel like they have, let's just say, at a minimum, 2 years of comfort level, what does that do to their decision in this case-by-case basis of Justin Fields? If they know they have 2 years, then all of a sudden you're thinking about how old is my defense? How good is my defense right now? Can I win this year or
you
not?
Just and play who's better? You just play who's better. If you have 2 years, it's just a straight meritocracy, which is what it should be anyway.
Which is what it should be. Which is why I'd rather they have 2 years, frankly, than just 1 year. Because they could be prone to making a bad decision. If it's 1 year, they could make a bad decision in either direction, frankly.
Correct. Correct. And if it's just 1 year, it's potentially more likely that they would start Dalton early so that they could have the carrot of, hey, the season's not going to be very good anyway, most likely, but look how strong Justin Fields came on in the second half of the year. Give us more time. I do think if they have 1 year, it's possible that they would be inclined to act out of self-preservation. But again, the draft pick itself suggests that they have the job security to see this thing through. Why would you trade up and draft a quarterback only to fire the guy who drafted him and is coaching him? Why would you do that?
I agree. So if they have that job security, I just think if they had 1 year, yes, the most likely mistake would be the one you said. But if they had 1 year, I could conceivably, if we're talking about case by case, if some giant red flag was there in August that said to them in their football sensibilities, I don't think Justin Fields is ready and should play, but he is the best and will give us a chance. They could make a wrong decision theoretically that way too, based on 1 year, you know?
They could. So, they could. I think this is going to be moot, man. I think it's going to be moot. Andy Dalton's not very good anymore, and Justin Fields runs a 4.44 40. You know, I think this is going to be pretty obvious come training camp, and I assume that he plays. We got a ton of time for it. So apparently Bernstein tried to ruin a fun day today. We will not allow that aggression to stand. And then I saw a highlight that, because I was listening to the end of the Cubs game, but there was a highlight that I've now seen the video of that's just so quintessential Chicago, we got to talk about it. It's coming up, Parkinson Spiegel on The Score.
I've never seen a Star Wars movie. I like different kinds of movies. I like movies where it's boy gets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl back, good triumphs over evil. That's it. I don't like science fiction. I also don't go to horror movies. I've never seen a Chop Chop movie. I don't watch Chop Chop movies.
Blah blah blah. So number one, okay.
Wow.
May the 4th be with you. Yeah, that's what everyone's saying out there today.
My 9-year-old discovered that today was Star Wars Day for the first time. Could not get enough of it. He was thrilled saying it to everybody in virtual school. Like they would switch subjects. All of a sudden he'd be in music class like, hey, may the 4th be with you. Like with full energy and excitement, just completely loving every bit of Star Wars Day. Do you love it, Danny?
I loved Star Wars as a kid. My dad was into it, so he took me to, you know, showed me all the movies when I was young. And, you know, when there's new movies out in the theater, I still take him. And it's just like a father-son thing that we do. And
so there'll be some people dressed like Chewbacca. Is that what you're telling me?
Chewbacca.
Even though your dad was killed along with Obi-Wan Kenobi that Sunday. I believe.
Yeah,
it was
very, very tragic. Yeah. But I dressed Owen today, and I dressed him in his Star Wars shirt, not knowing it was May the 4th. True story.
That's karma. That's karma. Right
it was
there.
Weird. And Steph goes, oh, wow, look at you planning ahead for May the 4th. And I was like, nope. had no idea.
Why not take that one and get some dad points? Get some thoughtful present dad points.
I guess I could have. I could have taken the layup, but I didn't. Shane, of course, the contrarian by nature, has never seen a Star Wars movie. And in addition, no interest, Shane? None?
No interest at all. It's just not my genre. I don't like the nerd stuff. Like, there's nothing wrong with nerd culture. I can't relate to it.
Because you're not a nerd.
Well, I have my nerdish tendencies. I nerd out about plenty, but the stuff that I nerd out about is not considered to be like the nerd culture, like the sci-fi, all that stuff. It's no offense to the nerds. I'm just not like the Star Wars, Lord of the Rings nerd.
See, and here's the thing. Harry Potter I never got into, Lord of the Rings I never got into, but Star Wars I did. Did you watch Game of Thrones?
Like in the background. I didn't pay the kind of attention that I should have paid to it.
Yeah, because Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones was awesome. To me, it's...
Where are you on science fiction, like the alien movies?
No, I don't have any interest. I like real aliens. I like reading about, like, conspiracy theories in aliens, but no interest in the fake stuff.
He likes real aliens, Speaks, not fake aliens, obviously.
Anybody's into conspiracy theories about the real aliens.
Yeah.
That's a weird line. You know what? That unwritten rule line that you're drawing about sci-fi and aliens is a lot like the baseball unwritten rule line about the passion and, like, can't do it. It's very vague, your line, frankly.
Huh. Shame. I didn't think about that. Is still a little baby.
Well, that's fair. Everyone has their own line, but apparently Dan Bernstein, he draws his line very firm in the sand on May the 4th.
May the 4th be with you.
Hi, Dan and Lila. Happy Star Wars Day, or as many persnickety jazz fans want it to be, Dave Brubeck Day, because of his experiments with time signatures. They believe that 5-4 should be for Brubeck and not necessarily for Star Wars, but that's neither here nor there.
So then why mention it? If it's neither
that's
here
the
nor
thing.
There.
Shane, that's exactly... Dan is obviously very smart and very well-read, and he knows that his employment, is sports talk radio. But he's having conversations with other people. He's not doing a one-person show.
Yeah, no, he's doing it for like...
doesn't stop him from saying things that he knows the person or people that he is talking to have no ability to yes and with.
He says out loud, though, what most people shouldn't even say to themselves.
Yeah, like, but truth be told, I can relate to this a little bit because I have, you know, every once in a while I'll make a reference for like the two people who get it and I will think about
them. It's a selfish way to do the job.
I agree. So I try to call myself on it and minimize it. But I'm enjoying Dave Brubeck's Take 5 in the background right now, along with the three other people who are, and probably Dan Bernstein, if he's listening, and Jason.
Well, it is. May the 4th be with you.
Hi, Dan and Lila.
I don't have the words.
Happy Star Wars Day, or as many persnickety jazz fans want it to be, Dave Brubeck Day, because of his...
shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
He's sticking up for persnickety jazz fans. They
Good
need
Lord.
Some support.
A big part of our demo.
Yeah, exactly. Who are you talking to?
We got one. We got one guy. Ben in Queens, who calls Hit and Run sometimes, and he hangs out on the Twitch. That guy... He's a jazz bass player. So right now he's very interested, and he's probably persnickety right now on the Twitch feed.
Well,
so that's it.
Then let's just program the station for Ben and Queens. Sounds perfect. I was listening to the game. Did you see the homer off Hendricks, the Ruiz?
Yes. Yes.
Did you see what the fan
dad?
Did?
Yeah, and the dad who like because somebody gave the ball. To a little kid, and the dad was telling the kid what you do with an opposing team's home run, and the kid obviously didn't understand it. Dad picked him up, held him over his head, walked down the stairs, clearly explaining what to do, got to the front, and the kid did as he was told, and with a left-handed throw, so that bodes well for that kid's baseball future, threw it into the field where he's supposed to. That's solid parenting, in my opinion.
It's great dadding. It really is. And the guy is wearing a Kyle Farnsworth jersey in the bleachers in 45-degree weather with his 6-year-olds. It's just so Chicago. Like, I loved that video so much. Like, kid's so excited. He gets given a home run ball. Maybe it's his first day at Wrigley. No, son. If it was a foul ball from a Dodger, you could keep it. The Cubs are up 7-1 at this point. Doesn't matter. This is
Doesn't
tradition.
Matter.
This is what we do in the right field bleachers. We throw it back. And he just treks him down there, and the kid throws it back. It was such a Chicago moment. I loved it. And, yes,
yeah, that
the
was
Farnsworth
awesome.
Jersey really made it.
We mentioned the Javier Baez. And, Shane, what do you think of him again? You think he's
I think he's a big old baby.
Okay. Well, Amir Garrett just got suspended by Major League Baseball for his actions of screaming at Anthony Rizzo in the direction of Anthony Rizzo. 7 games for Amir Garrett, who has a long history of inciting or exacerbating incidents. So that's a big part of it. But This is what they're doing now. Remember when his teammate Nick Castellanos got suspended for 2 games because he flexed muscles at Yadier Molina after crossing the plate? Now Amir Garrett barking at Anthony Rizzo and then Javi Baez reacting gets a 7-game suspension for Amir Garrett as MLB viciously trying to correct something.
That is idiotic. What is so 7 games for screaming?
For screaming in the direction of Anthony Rizzo.
Dude, your sport is so stupid.
That's like, where the line is. The line is do it at yelling. Your teammates. Do it at your teammates now.
So there's a rule that says that screaming is an offense?
I get it.
Incited the benches to empty. But so so what would he have gotten if he would have hit Anthony Rizzo? He would have thrown at him.
I believe execution.
Yeah. I think he would have had to partner with Dan Bernstein on Star Wars Day.
Ooh, I'll take punishment. The execution.
Okay. Yeah, via stoning.
Is an option.
Could you? I believe lashes, his punishment please. His punishment was he was going to have to sort out the audio issues for our new song at the top of the hour.
Oh, yikes. I wonder if Kurt would answer the phone for him.
We'll have it tomorrow, people. Don't you worry. Everything's going to be fine.
He but answers for Speaks because Speaks keeps his caller ID on. He hasn't got rid of his caller ID yet.
That's right. Just in case I need to get a table at Kurt's
Kurt
downstairs.
Literally just texted me.
See, there it is. I told you. He's a good dude. He's probably teaching a class or teaching guitar players how to throw their life away, as musicians so often do. But, 7 games, man. Amir Garrett's got a history, but that's a lot. That's a ridiculous amount. I do believe that what Amir Garrett did was wrong in terms of yelling at opposition and inciting, but 7 games is ridiculous. And Castellanos' 2 games were ridiculous. So
inciting? Yeah. What is this, January 6th? Like, that's just so stupid. Like,
there was an insurrection at the Great American Ballpark.
It's so dumb. Like, trash talk and beef and bad blood and rivalry. Like, have people not realized yet that this is good for professional sports? When are they going to realize it? Because they curate the video on their social media feed and they put it on their team website and they put it on their MLB network or their NFL network or whatever, but then they fine the players for it. It is so hypocritical.
I'm telling you, there is a differentiation. Like, they're okay with Tatis celebrating towards his dugout.
Yeah,
I know. Doing the swag. They're okay. But Trevor Bauer did the sword thing where he put the sword back in the scabbard, and that was on the mound looking at the guy he just struck out.
At Hosmer. Yeah, on the Padres. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that should have been that's the same, frankly, as Amir Garrett at somebody.
Yeah, did you see that the incident in the I think it was in the Rangers game where the dude got $5,000 for like a super violent hit, and Valdez Scantling, the receiver on the Packers, he tweeted out that he got fined $7,000 last year for wearing his socks too low.
Oh my God.
These leagues are idiotic. They're just focused on disciplining and enforcing the wrong things.
Well, look, it's been
for socks and 7 games for screaming.
Listen, baseball is a big bus. It makes a slow turn. Okay, so the slow turn that baseball is making into the modern age is allowing passion when directed towards yourself or towards your teammates, and passion when directed towards others is not quite making the turn. It's the back half of one of those accordion-style double Chicago buses, you know? That half will have to make the turn maybe next year or the year after that, apparently.
Just ridiculous. We haven't answered questions in a long time. We like to end the show with your questions. We call it One Last Thing. Twitch it or text it in. We answer your questions next on The Score.
It's time for One Last Thing.
That is the $1.5 billion question.
I just want to ask you one question.
That's a general answer to a general question.
Ask any question.
I just want to ask you
for anyone on the
one
show.
Question.
That's probably an unsatisfying answer, but that's as candid as I can be.
I just want to ask you one question.
What do you think about Verb?
It's the dumbest question you could ask.
What?
Jesus.
I just want to ask you one question.
That's a silly question. That's a leading question. When I told you, if you listen.
I just want to ask you one question.
Whoever's interviewing him just baited him hard.
I just want to ask you.
Well, that's a great question.
One question.
One Last Thing with Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Game two of the split doubleheader coming up next. Zach Zaidman's pregame, Cubs and Dodgers. Got to beat Trevor Bauer tonight. But we like to end the show with your question. Search 670 The Score on Twitch. Join our little Twitch community over there. You can send in your questions, or, of course, you can text them, 312-644-6767. Shane, any good questions today?
Yeah, our guy Charlotte J, 136 on Twitch, which, for anybody new here, that's Jay. He's out in Charlotte. If your kid doesn't throw the ball back, do you throw your kid back?
I think it's child endangerment, but
the grass is soft, and there's a basket for that thing, right?
No, I think Shane's ready to be a parent.
I think you rip the ball out of your child's hand and throw it back, and then tell him what's what.
Daddy, why can't I keep the souvenir home run ball?
It's tradition, son.
Yes.
It could very easily, that video, be turned into a meme, like, just going to get a screen capture of the video. I've already thought it through. Cut it off right before the kid actually throws the ball back so you get rid of that context. And then it can be like, me if my kid turns out to be a Cub fan. Or me if my kid ends up liking Star Wars. And then you're just like walking him down the stairs to drop him off the wall. I think it could be a good meme.
Always thinking of content. Just the idea of you being disgusted if your kid is a Star Wars. These, like, these not popular things like the Cubs and Star Wars. All right, what's next?
Audio ID Kid, Doug in Evergreen Park. Is it acceptable to have Taco Tuesday and Taco Cinco de Mayo? I think it is.
So just tacos back-to-back days?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, have you never had the same thing 2 days in a row? Of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's check with legal before we say Taco Tuesday.
Better run that up the flagpole. Yeah.
To LeBron.
See if,
I think LeBron trademarked it.
Definitely don't try to put it on a t-shirt.
No, that'd be bad.
Cinco de Mayo.
Will you guys be celebrating Cinco de Mayo? It's on Fried Chicken Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah. With some margaritas, sure. I'm going to the Cub game tomorrow, so I'll celebrate there.
All right. What about you, Speaks?
My wife, the Fiery Latina, is indeed going out with some friends. I was in charge of finding Cinco de Mayo plans, and I had them, but I am off the hook, so that's okay, too.
She Excellent.
Will. Yes. I like this one via text. Danny, a few years ago, you said you would save your wife over your mom in a fire due to thinking practically and pragmatically. Now, who would you save in a fire? Your wife, your mom, your son, or Omar.
Or you're mean.
You're mean. Or you're if you drove mean Mercedes.
Thanks for bringing that up. That wasn't didn't cause any family drama. No, just kidding. Everyone's fine.
Only one of them.
I think if you could only save one, you save the baby. You save the child.
Yes.
Yeah. You save the child. Same rationale, same logic. Most time left to live. Right, he has hopefully 80 plus years still to go on this earth. My wife and mom can't say that. So yeah, I guess Owen gets saved. Congratulations, buddy. But I mean, it would also it'd be scary if there was a fire. You know, I would hope to not be Costanza at that party and just pushing people out of
absolutely.
The way and running for the door. I'd like to think that I'd be a hero.
All right, Shane, I jumped in because I wanted Danny's answer on that. But what else we got?
Yeah, no, I'm glad you did because there's nothing else.
Wow.
I think we sprung one last thing on these guys a little bit too.
There's a bunch in the text. The texters have some.
Do they have good ones?
Mm.
There's quite a few here that I can't say because something happened during the Pajamagram read.
Oh, yes.
It's a lot of bad info out there.
A lot of bad info. Can't talk about that.
Okay. Yeah, I was about to ask you that one. I guess I
got
can.
Quite a few text messages, too, to my personal cell phone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, hey, hand up. It's on me. Big
thumb guy. Do you get in trouble every day?
Well, these shorter shows, less, because I have less time to open a microphone.
Okay.
But there's still plenty of stuff that happens off the air that I do find a way to get in trouble with here. Yeah.
I feel like I'm always hearing like, Shane will get back to you. He's in a conversation about this. Like, we're just starting fires left and right around here.
Yeah.
Lucky to survive that one.
Yeah, we start so many fires and they don't really give me many fire extinguishers.
Oh, wow. big thumb guy there. Just
well, they the is very general.
With the match hey. And the kerosene, and you're like, where are my fire extinguishers?
We're all spread thin here.
You have 17 jobs. It's not your fault.
I'm not really that good at any of them.
All right, how about this one? What is the number one frozen pizza? Top frozen pizza of choice. I'm a home run in guy. Home run in thin crust is very, very solid, in my opinion.
It is. I mean, can I go with like the frozen pizzas from the established spots? Because like the Lou's that they'll send you, that they'll ship all over the country, is shockingly good for frozen pizza that arrives on dry ice. But it's expensive. You
gotta
know,
get it sent to me from.
No, I mean, you can buy them at their stores or whatever. But I'm just saying, like they do a very good job of setting up. But at a grocery store, I also enjoy DiGiorno.
I used to like the Jack's Rising Crust. That used to be my go-to. I think I've evolved past it.
Home run, very good. I believe is comparable to the restaurant version of it. Also, for all my Costco heads out there, Motor City Pizza. It's frozen in their frozen section there. It's very good Detroit style pizza.
Mm.
Yeah.
Add it to the list. So do we think we're going to have the song fixed tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure. I suggested Kurt rebounce it as a 44-116, so I think we should be okay.
Oh, well, that's obvious.
It's okay. Perfect. Just a bumpy beginning. It's like Justin Fields having a bumpy first week at training camp and still winning the job comfortably by the third week of preseason, you know?
I just hope we didn't jinx the entire thing. As the guy who gets branded as the mush on this show, it just lives deep in my core of anxiety that's going to be held against us for the next 15 years. Thank you to Brian Gerch running our Twitch stream. We appreciate you, Shane Reardon, our executive producer, hopefully not in too much trouble for whatever he did during that read. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkin. Zach Zaidman and Cubs baseball is coming up next. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
Okay, all right, thank God that's over. I got a headache. All right, so anyway, I got to be honest, Bill. That's just too much. That's over the top.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.